Doesn't mean to say,
Kamal Sahab, mashallah, you've given us a very good prescription today. We're just going to believe in Allah. We're going to believe in Rasulullah. We're going to believe in Isa alayhi salam. And we're going to believe in Jannah. And we're going to believe in Jahannam. And don't do anything more. That's it. We're going to sit in our seats and our couches. And we'll believe in Allah. And we'll believe in Rasulullah. And we'll believe in Abdul Muhammad. And we'll believe in Isa. And we're going to do nothing more. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that person who believes in these things and then asks Allah to make him steadfast on deen, whatever he will do, Allah will definitely enter him into paradise. Meaning if he makes any mistakes, Allah will forgive them. Or some muhaddiseen have said that if he acts any, if he does any sins by which he has to go into Jahannam, but if he's got these beliefs, the oneness of Allah, the risalat of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to believe in the risalat of Isa alayhi salam, and to believe in Jannah, and to believe in Jahannam, after getting the punishment, one day there will be that person will be entered into paradise, inshallah, inshallah. We've drifted away, Shaykh, with your tawajjuh, subhanAllah. Allah bless you, Allah. Kaun si hadith bayan kar raha to pata nahi kaha mamla chala. We were mentioning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that I am going to mention five things to you. And the very first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, kitne baje tak baat karni hai?
12
baje tak. Allah. Meri ghadi mein to 12 mein 5 kam ho rahe hain. How long do you want to go on for, boys? Is that enough?
No, please.
Until my voice goes over and doesn't come back, my students will be very happy, mashallah. But some are coming to class tomorrow, mashallah. Huh? Let's see how long Allah Ta'ala gives us the strength, inshallah, to carry on. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ittaqil mahar. Number one is what? Number one is, save yourself from haram. And what will you become? A'badannas. Takun a'badannas. You will become the most worshipping person. Allah inna awliya Allah. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Verily, without a shadow of doubt, the awliya Allah, the servants of Allah, are those who believe in Allah and then who are God conscious. To Allah par iman rakhte hain aur fir apne aap ko taqwa ke saath apne aap ko muzayyan karte hain. The sifat and quality of taqwa. To make sure that we save ourselves from sins. That is the whole purpose of God consciousness. To create this thing in our heads, in our minds, that Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, this Quran, subhanAllah, Quran is full of taqwa. Over 200 places, Allah Rabbul Izzah has mentioned ittaqullah, subhanAllah. Over 200 places in the Quran, Allah mentions regarding taqwa, subhanAllah. And in one verse we know, we just read in the khutbah, Allah mentions taqwa twice in one verse. One verse, Allah mentions taqwa twice. So important to understand the reality and the realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence and to have this quality of ihsan, inshaAllah. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu once asked the question to Ubay ibn Ka'b, subhanAllah, Ubay, Allahu Akbar. Ubay kitne ajeeb sahabi the, Jalilul Qadr sahabi. Ubay bin Umar bin Umar. He was such a great man. Umar radiallahu ta'ala status, subhanAllah. لو كان بعدي نبي لكان Umar. If there was a prophet to be after me, it would have been Umar. Rasulullah ﷺ gave so many virtues of Umar the Great. But Umar goes to Ubay ibn Ka'b. Because Ubay ibn Ka'b was a Sahabi who also knew the scriptures of the other books. He also read the scriptures of the other books. And he also knew the scriptures of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran al-Kareem. Ubay ibn Ka'b, such a great sahabi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi riwayat karte hain, Hazrat Ubay ke fadail mein isi naam se farmaya, wa aqrahum li kitabillahi Ubay ibn Ka'b, Allah ke Quran ko sabse zyada padhne wala ya sabse zyada Quran ka ilm rakhne wala koi bhi nahi siway Ubay ibn Ka'b. Subhanallah. His recitation was so beautiful and he understood the Quran so uniquely. You know something? Allah ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to Ubay ibn Ka'b. Subhanallah. Just imagine. Just imagine his status. One day, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi mentions Ubay ibn Ka'b. He was sitting in his home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to his house. He says, Ya Ubay, I have been ordered to recite Surah Lam Yakun Al-Lazina to you. Subhanallah. Quran is revealed on who? Who was the Quran revealed on? Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Rasulullah is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that go to Ubay. Ubay ke paas jao. Aur Ubay ke paas jaakar unko aap lam yakun al-lazina sunao. Subhanallah. Kitna martaba hoga Ubay ibn Ka'b ka. Rasulullah has been told and ordered to go to Ubay and read and recite Surah Lam Yakun Al-Lazina. Rasulullah comes to Ubay and he says, I have been ordered. I said, Ubay gets shot. He says, Ya Rasulullah, Allahu Sammani. Allahu Sammani. Has Allah actually mentioned my name? Did he actually say? Because he thought, wait a minute, maybe Rasulullah was told that pray Lam Yakun Al-Lazina to your sahaba. But this was a specific virtue which was given to Ubay ibn Ka'b. This Allah was Sammani. Did Allah actually mention my name and say, go to Ubay? And he never questioned. Unna Rasulullah par ishkar nahi kiya. Ek to sometimes when a person comes and see me, are you sure? You want me? Are you sure? Mulza wants me. Are you sure? He's asking for me. You know, you are astonished and shocked. Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b says, Allah was Sammani. Then are you sure? Rasulullah, is it reality? Is it a fact that Allah mentioned my name? Then go to Ubay and read the Quran. Of Lam Yakun Al-Lazina. Qala Rasulullah, na'am. Says, yes. Allah has told me specifically to come to you. Because he thought maybe Rasulullah chose me. Yeah? From all his Sahaba, maybe he chose me. And that is an honor in itself. That is an honor in itself that I have been chosen by Rasulullah. Allah might have told him, go to your Sahaba and pray Surah Lam Yakun Al-Lazina, and he chose me. That's an honor in itself. But to get this extra privilege and extra honor, and to get Allahu Akbar, Ubay ibn Ka'b is narrating this hadith, and he says that Rasulullah, as soon as he mentions, Na'am, yes. Yes, Allah has told me to pray Lam Yakun Al-Lazina. Tears started flowing from the eyes of Ubay ibn Ka'b. And these were not tears of sadness, but they were tears of happiness. He was pleased. Allahu Akbar, the Rasul of Allah, the Habib of Allah. And he is coming to me. He is coming to me and reciting the Quran to me. What an honor Allah has given me. Subhanallah. Say La ilaha illallah. This very Ubay ibn Ka'b. This very Ubay ibn Ka'b. He's asked the question. None but by Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab. Ma huwa taqwa? Says, what is taqwa? What is taqwa? Before Ubay ibn Ka'b answers the question, he pauses the question. He says, هَلْ أَخَذَتَ تَرِيقًا إِذَا شَوْكَ O Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you ever walked the path which is stony? کیا آپ کبھی ایسے راستے سے چلے ہو جہاں پہ کاتے ہو او خاکدار قال نعم He says, I have مَاذَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا What was your immediate reaction? What did you physically do at that time? قَالَ تَشَمَّرْتُ وَحَذَرْتُ I would do tashmir And I would do that. I would be coloring my clothes together and walking in a very cautious way, because the thorns are there. And if I walk and if they tangle into my clothes, what's going to happen? They're going to tear. Or secondly, the thorns might go into my body and then give me trouble. They might prick me and hurt me. So I will walk with my clothes gathered and walk very cautiously. मैं अपने कपड़ों को समेट कर चलता और मैं बड़े एहतियात से चलता, चाहे कहीं वो काटा मेरे कपड़े को लगकर उसको फार न दे और मेरे बदन को चुभ कर मुझे तकलीफ ना हो। हजरत उबैय इब्ने काब रज़ियल्लाहु तआला ने आफ्टर हियरिंग दिस वर्ड्स तशम्मतु व हदरतु इसे स्पॉल फजाक तक्वा। ओ उमर, आपने मुझे सवाल किया था तकवा किस चीज का नाम है, तो यही तो तकवा है। सुभान अल्लाह, यही तो तकवा। दिस इज व्हाट इज तकवा, दैट दीस सिंस, गुनाहों के कांटे दुनिया में बिछाए हैं। ऑल दीस थॉर्न्स ऑफ सिंस आर अराउंड अस इन ऑल फोर कॉर्नर्स ऑफ द वर्ल्ड। व्हाटएवर वी गोना स्टेप, देयर्स गोना बी थॉर्न्स ऑफ सिंस एंड मासिया and nafarmani of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do? You save yourself, you protect yourself, you know, and you make sure that you don't stumble over, but you try and protect. Sometimes you might get scratched, sometimes you might get slashed, but eventually you will reach your destination, inshallah. Yeah. Save yourself from these sins. Live a life by trying to protect yourself, inshallah. Slowly, gradually, Allah will make you reach your destination, and our destination is none but Jannah, inshallah, inshallah. We will reach there, inshallah, inshallah. We could say more on that, but I just want to try and conclude the hadith. An hour is up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, number one, what did he say? Can you remember? Ittaqil mahari. We're going to repeat our sabak today, inshallah. Yeah? Number one, ittaqil mahari. Save yourself from haram. And inshallah, I would be indebted to Hazrat Mufti Sahib, inshallah, if we could elaborate more on this issue on his khutbah in Jummah, inshallah. Jazakallah. Ittaqil mahar. Takun abadanas. You will be from the one who is the most worshipping in the sight of Allah. Number two. He says, warda bima qasam Allahu lak. Subhanallah. Warda bima qasam Allahu lak. Takun aghnan nas. Be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you and put in your qismat and put in your fate. You will be from the richest of the people. Subhanallah. Allah. Today we see problems. Today we are seeing that cutbacks from central government, cutbacks from local authorities, people's jobs are at stake. People are worried about their future. People have made lifestyles in such a way that now they are worried, how am I going to sustain my lifestyle? An artificial lifestyle was created because of big salary which was in front of their eyes. We never had the concept, many of our brothers and sisters never had the concept of living a life of simplicity. إِنَّ الْبَذَاذَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. Simplicity is a part of faith. سَالِهِ إِيمَانِ كَا جُزْهِ لَأَعْوَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. Allah says that I am, basically Rasulullah says, I am not from those who are creating an artificial lifestyle. مَنْ تَكَلُّفْ كَرْنِي وَالُوْ مَيْسِ نَيْهُ إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّلَعُمْ. Iyaka wa tala'um. Rasulullah says, save yourself from such lifestyle which is basically beyond an extravagant lifestyle. Iyaka wa tala'um. Aisho ishrat ki zindagi se apne aap ko bachao. Extravagant lifestyle. Fa inna ibadallah laysu bil mutana'imin. For the servants of Allah do not be those who live a lifestyle of extravagance. If Allah has given ni'mah, Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will increase in that ni'mah inshaAllah. What I'm not trying to say is that we should not live in mansions. What I'm not trying to say is that we should not have good cars. What I'm trying to say, what Allah gives us, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will increase in that favor. But many a people should try and live life of simplicity. Alhamdulillah, we know many millionaires who are millionaires, yet they don't want to show that they're a millionaire. And they are living a life of simplicity. I hear that they have some programs, I don't know, on the TV or something, about some kind of a millionaire. And he's a millionaire. And these kind of millionaires, they say that they go out and they don't identify themselves as millionaires. And then they go and they assist people who don't know that they're a millionaire. Because if they know that they're a millionaire, then there will be lust and desire behind, and they will want to have the money from them. So they just go as an individual, trying to see how they can assist. And then further later down, they find out that this guy is a millionaire or this woman is a millionaire. The same way, if we have been given wealth, we do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wealth is not all about having money. لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. What is the real riches? The real richness is the richness of the heart. Many a times we know millionaires, they can't even spend on themselves. You'll see these millionaires in the big cars maybe, yeah? Or the small car with the big wheel, or the big car with a small wheel, whatever they want to have, yeah? You'll see them going to the car sales, huh? They're the ones that are going to look for the deals and the wheels, yeah? They'll be the ones you'll see on a Sunday, in the Sunday car boot sale market, yeah? Not to say that to go there is wrong, but to say, Alhamdulillah, if we go there, we can justify, because I'm not a millionaire, Alhamdulillah, eh? So I can justify my presence in a car boot sale. But how is a millionaire going to justify his presence there? So, do you have to come here? You know something? These car boot sales are fantastic, yeah. They give you proper deals, yeah. These stores, they deceive you. No good there, you know. So they wanna, sometimes these millionaires, Allahu Akbar, I heard of a case in London. This guy is a millionaire, but he doesn't even spend on his own self, subhanAllah. He's got a million money, million pounds, whatever, in his bank account. All he does is looks at it, mashallah, it's there in my account here. Like many of us, every week or every other day, we go online. Account, personal log, put your login on my in, put your account. My money's still there, mashallah. It's gone nowhere, mashallah. Just looking at the account, paise abhi hai, mashallah. 2 days later, you know that you've not spent anything. You know that you've not given anything with the card. Still, 2 days later, let me just check my account again. Yeah? Oh, where is he gonna go, man? Yeah? No, check the account again. Check it out, put login again. Oh, yeah, he's still there. He's still there, mashallah. Oh, it happened. I've seen people, literally every time you see them, they're on the log of them, the bank, you know? So he's looking at the accounts. What are you doing, man? I'm just checking my account now, man. Hey, what's wrong with you, yeah? Said, fine, man, give something then. Then you'll see a change in your account. You'll see something going less. Give something in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be a bank account which will be no loss, inshallah, yeah? But no. Yeah, they want to keep on looking at the account. They don't want to spend on themselves. In fact, today, in society, just 2 weeks ago, Sheikh, I was in Bolton. And we were visiting a person in regards to guard dogs. Sorry, guide dogs. Guide dogs. Yeah, and he was a Muslim youngster who had a guide dog, and he was trying to educate us the needs of the blind people in the country that we live in here. And they had some people from the blind society come, and they gave their presentation. It was amazing to listen to that. I don't want to go into the specifics of the meeting, but what I'm trying to say, it was amazing for us. They said our budget for the year, and it's a charity, they don't get any government to aid. They said the Blind Society is a charity which accumulates 65 million pounds a year. SubhanAllah. That's 65 million. How do you do collections for 65, just such a large budget? And what do? They assist, they train dogs, and they breed these guide dogs. And it's a full system that they do. And they said that actually people write in their inheritance, 45 million pounds of that money comes from inheritance. Subhanallah. People wrote in their wills that after I die, the money goes to the guide dogs, charity. Why? Because they are assisting and helping out with the person living, having a better lifestyle and have a better life. What I'm trying to say, people will go to these extremes of giving in charity, but some people will go to the opposite extremes that they won't even spend on their own self. They won't even spend on their own self. This is not riches. Richness is what you have in your heart. If you have little, but you give in the path of Allah subhanahu. You're courageous enough. You're courageous. Alhamdulillah, your heart is rich. This was not Sahaba's quality. They had little, but they gave in the path of Allah. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Even if they were facing hunger and starvation, they never looked at starvation and hunger. They said, no, let us give. Allah will open the way for us, inshallah. Yeah. This was their attitude. So Rasulullah says, what does he say? He says that اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَلَ النَّاسِ. Well, be pleased بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ, with that which Allah has written for you. Qaza raza bil qaza. To be pleased with our destiny. To be pleased with what Allah has given us. Situations, circumstances will come and go. But we will have to face those challenges and situations through the Quran and Sunnah. Every situation, we will have light from the Quran and Sunnah, inshallah. Islam is not a religion which is going to leave you in the dark. Every situation that you face, you will have light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is none but the light of Islam, the light of Quran, the light of Sunnah of our Habib, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, don't worry, people's situations, people's circumstances change, but at the end of the day, we have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are pleased with Allah. And if you have that in your heart, you will feel the sweetness of Iman, inshallah. Yeah. You will feel the sweetness of Iman. Because my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. That person has definitely tasted the sweetness of Iman. Like we can taste the sweetness of honey. Yeah? We can see, when we eat honey, we can see how sweet it feels. Not the honey. I'm talking about honey, by the way. Yeah? Don't get me wrong. By the way, you don't have a honey, Abdul Majid, so you gotta get one soon, inshallah. Yeah, get off me, inshallah, Sheikh. Yeah, Muftizan. Inshallah. Yeah? Allah bless you, inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen.
So here, Rasulullah says, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. That person who have tasted the sweetness of one who? مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهِ. Who is pleased with Allah as his Lord, as his sustainer, as his nourisher. Situations come and go. But who do we have faith in? Allah. Who do we have faith in? Allah. Man radiya billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. And who has accepted the deen as a way of life. Whatever situation faces us, doesn't mean we abandon deen. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Doesn't mean that we leave deen. Oh, I can't do anymore. I can't pray my namaz anymore. Because look the way Allah treated me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Na'udhu billah. People come out with such garbage. What should I pray for? Allah never looked at me with mercy. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We don't know what's best for us. Only Allah knows. Man radiya billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola. And who is pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet. These three qualities, if we have, we will feel the sweetness of Iman. Inshallah. Say inshallah. So be pleased with whatever Allah has written for me and you. We'll be pleased with that. We will see that we will be the richest people on the face of this earth. We will be the richest people on the face of this earth. Third advice. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ. Subhanallah. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Rasulullah says, do ihsan to your neighbor. Be courteous towards your neighbor. do something beyond your responsibility. Not just fulfilling the rights. Rights is equal. Your right upon me, my right upon you. That's our rights. But Rasulullah is encouraging here, فَلْيُحْسِنْ. In another hadith, he says, فَلْيُحْسِنْ. مَنْ كَانِ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُحْسِنْ إِلَى جَرْهِ. Who believes in Allah on the last day, he should do ihsan, extra than what is on his shoulder. Allah. Our neighbors, whether they are Muslim, whether they are non-Muslim, we have to take care of them. We have different types of neighbors. Maybe a neighbor of ours is a Muslim, so he's one right. A Muslim's right. Or maybe a person next door to us is a non-Muslim, so he has one right. That is the right of being a neighbor. One person is a Muslim. He has two rights. Neighbor as well as a Muslim. Next door is our relative. Or umuman, jab parosi rishtedar hota hai, uske saath zyada jhagde hote hain. It's general. Brother lives next to a brother in back home, you know. They don't talk on for years. They can't buy another property because they don't have the means. But they're living next door, literally next door. But brother is not talking to his own brother. Or father is not talking to his own son. This is reality, brothers. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. Allah save us and protect us. Three rights. If your neighbor is your relative, then because he's your neighbor, because he's a Muslim, and because he's your relative. Rasulullah says, Hazrat Jibreel came to me and he gave so much emphasis regarding the rights of the neighbors that I thought he's going to say that when you die, give your inheritance to your neighbors. SubhanAllah. That's how much he put emphasis on rights of neighbors. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one hadith, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yu'dhi jarahu. Not only fulfilling the rights, not only doing more than what you have to do, neighbor is there, trying to make sure that you don't harm them. Nowadays people will say, Malisab, I don't give them any trouble, I don't harm them, but they don't like your presence. You don't harm them physically, but you are harming them mentally and psychologically. That is also haram. That is also haram. Your neighbor is somebody who should feel peace from you. He should not have any khatra from you. This is why there should be aman. There should be peace and safety from you. No kind of trouble, not only physical. I don't give trouble to my neighbor. I don't go and punch them. I don't do this to them. I don't give. But your attitude towards your neighbor is not right. And your attitude is the one that stinks. And your attitude is the one that is troubling him. Because everything you do, every act you do, you are giving a sarcastic remark or you're giving a sarcastic message to your neighbor. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Three times. Allah ki qasam wo iman wala hai. I can swear by the name of Allah, this person has no iman. Not once, not twice, not thrice. When he said over and over again, the sahaba were amazed. He says, qila man ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is this man who doesn't have iman and you are swearing by the name of Allah? Man ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, qal alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. Ke jiska parosi uski sharar, jiska parosi mahfuz na ho uski shararat se. Allah akbar. His mischief, his attitude, he is showing such attitude to his neighbor that they are being troubled by him. Obviously, to trouble a neighbor by having loud music and this and that and knocking and chatting and disturbing, that is totally wrong. In fact, this land has a law. This land that we live in our country, our United Kingdom, there's a law which is called nuisance. Neighbor nuisance. And if the noise volume goes higher, we can actually complain. We can actually lodge a complaint against our neighbor because their level of noise is so high that it's disturbing us. This country has laws. After 10, you got horned, for example. Why? Because it's going to give trouble. But Musliman, huh? When it comes to Ramadan, Taraweeh, after Taraweeh is going to go out. Aji, kya haal hai? And in the cars, in the streets, making noise, giving trouble. I don't know about Rochdale, but we had some issues in Black. We had to sit with the police. Ramadan patrol during Ramadan nights. We had to have marshals and policemen on the streets of Blackburn because we're going to make sure that nobody is causing disruption and havoc in the nights of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala changed up the shayateen. But I say that these insan ki shakal mein shaitan hai. Ye insan hai, ye shaitan hai. Ye koi na, and they're troubling people. You go after namaz, go quietly to your neighborhood. You park, you don't know who's living next door. Maybe non-Muslim, maybe they want to sleep. You wake up in at suhoor. Don't make so much noise that you're giving neighbors, next door neighbors trouble. We don't even think of these things. Allahu Akbar. We should be considerate towards our neighbors. And on this point, we could elaborate more. The society that we live in, community cohesion, the society that we live in, the non-Muslims that live around us, how much are we taking care of them? How much are we really taking care of them? We have a responsibility as being mu'mins, as being Muslims, as having this beautiful deen of Islam to make sure we don't give trouble to our neighbors. Such a warning given by Rasulullah SAW, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, that person will not enter paradise. Like I said, our ultimate aim is to enter paradise. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنْ جَارُهُ بَوَعِطَهُ, that person whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief, this person will not enter paradise. Just as a matter of mention, Shaykh, if you allow me, I'd like to mention an incident which I personally experienced. It's not that I'm not showing any shaykh, Allah Ta'ala protect me from the evils of my heart. It's just that we just understand that, you know, Islam brings wonders. My neighbor, about 4 years back, is a non-Muslim called Simon. And Simon was a single man. He had a friend living with him. And Simon, we moved into that property in 2003. And Simon, we just met him, hello, how are you? And that was it. Obviously the media is a stereotype media. We know what the media is playing at. So when they see people with robes, with amama, they'll straight away think, oh, these are the so-called extremists. But this is where we come into it. This is where we have to make sure we portray to them the beauty of Islam. Alhamdulillah, we were taught by our parents from childhood. Ramadan jab aata hai, तो इफ्तारी के वक्त वो उसके घर पे खाना देने के लिए जाते हैं माशाल्लाह. हां, यहां पे भी होता है ना अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह, एक दूसरे के घरों पे खाना बेचते हैं, समझे ना. वी सेंड इफ्तारी टू द पर्सन्स हाउस, टू रिलेटिव्स, टू नेबर्स हाउस. इट्स फ्रॉम चाइल्डहुड. अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह, वी शुड कंटिन्यू विद दैट. आवर नेबर वाज अ नॉन मुस्लिम, सो वी शुड सेंड इफ्तारी टू हिम एज़ वेल. वी नो दैट ही डजंट फास्ट, but just for the sake that he's a neighbor, and we're sending him, you know, every few days we send iftari. When Eid day comes, we send him sweets and everything for our Eid day. So it's just that, because we know that the indigenous population really likes Indian food. Yeah, that's why we got the Indian restaurants, mashallah. That's why shish kafa is there, mashallah, because people want to go and have nice meal. And it's HMC as well, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So we used to, you know, not meet with him, but just sometimes, you know, give him these things. One day Simon comes up to me, Shaykh. And Simon says, Rafiq, I want to tell you something. Okay, Simon, you know, what's the matter? Because Rafiq, you know, I might be selling my property. I might be moving away to Cornwall. I'll sell my property and I want to live with my mom. She lives in Cornwall. But you know, you've been such a nice neighbor to me. I've been living here for 25 years. You've only lived here for a few years, but I've never had a better neighbor than you. Yeah? He could have gone to the neighbor on his left-hand side. But he comes to us. And he says, Rafiq, would you want to buy my property?
Allah.
Subhanallah. Yeah? It's a sign. I've just bought my property. And I really don't intend. But when you do be serious about your intentions, please let me know. In the meantime, we had an intention of building an extension. So I went to Simon, you know, and that issue just basically just rested. We never discussed it further. I said, Simon, I need to build an extension, so, you know, you have any issues? Rafiq, build what you want. I don't care. Build as large as you want and as high as you want. So now I just want to take your permission. If you have any objections, please let me know. No, I have no objection. I can write for you, no objection. So no problem. When you get the letter, obviously all you need to do, I'll respond to that. So don't worry, Rafiq, I'll take care of it. Obviously, we had our planning permission. Alhamdulillah, planning permission was done. We got our planning permission. Extension was being built. Extension is built. After the extension is built, coincidentally, he comes up to us again. Because Rafiq, I need to have a word with you. What's your problem? Rafiq, I'm serious now. I am really going to sell my property. And I don't want to put you up the market because I want to give you the first chance. So, SubhanAllah. Says, okay, Simon, can we see your property first? Okay, at that time, when he first initially told me, he told me a price, that this is how much, you know, he told me that I will sell it to you for, as far as I remember, I think it was 55 or something. So at that time, the property prices went to the high, and then the property market went up in between. So we went to have a look at his property, and there were some works that need to be done. So I said, okay, Simon, you know, basically, you know that you've got a property and maybe, you know, we might be interested, but obviously, first and foremost, I need to make arrangements for the money. And secondly, you know, I'll give you one price, my first and last price. Then I won't haggle with you, I'll just give you one price and that will be it. If you're interested, sell it to me. If not, you can sell it to somebody else. So, okay, Rafiq, what's your price? So I said, 55 or something. So he said, okay, I accept it. SubhanAllah, straight away he accepts it. So I sure signed. He goes, yeah, fine. You know, you make your arrangements. Yeah, I'll give you 4 weeks to make the arrangements of the money, and then we'll talk about it. So it's fine. The 4 weeks hadn't passed, and one day he comes knocking on my door. So Rafiq, I need to speak. So has he changed his mind again, right? I'm already making phone calls, you know, can you give me 1,000, can you give me this? I'm making arrangements, and is he going to change his mind now? So Rafiq, I need to talk to you. So what's the problem? So Rafiq, you know my friend who lives with me? I said, yeah, Gaza. Because Gaza's got a friend. And he just mentioned to him that, you know, we're going to be moving out. And, you know, one of your guys, meaning Muslim, because, you know, one of your guys, I says, yeah, because he's offering me 20,000 on top of what you've offered me, yeah? He's offering me 20, because he knew the market value had gone up. So he goes, he's offering me 20,000 pounds cash, not even any cash. So it's just money in my pocket. He's offering me 20,000 more of it, but do you know what I've done? So what have you done? Have you accepted it? There's no of it. So what have you done? I don't say, have you accepted it? He said, what did you do? He goes, Rafiq, I've gone to the solicitor and I've signed a contract. SubhanAllah, eh? SubhanAllah. I said, what? At that time, immediately a thought came to my mind, SubhanAllah. The sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of considering the neighbor today has come a reality, SubhanAllah. We never gave him iftar. We never gave him the food because we ever wanted to buy that property. We never had that intention. Because we got our own property, we built our own extension. But the circumstances were such that it was in our best interest at that time that we buy just in case some other neighbor comes in there which can give trouble to us. So we thought we might as well borrow money and buy the property, otherwise we might get a neighbor which we don't really want. So, al-jar qabla al-dar. So make sure you get that property before somebody else moves in and it gives us trouble. So putting that into our minds, I said, SubhanAllah, look at the beauty of the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That here is a non-Muslim. Agar hum aur aap hote to kya hota? Bali sahab ji, kya baat hai? You know, he's offering me 20, so go up a bit please, you know? Can you go up a bit, Mulzab, you know? He's giving me 20 more, come on, Shaykh, you know how the situation is today, and you know, he's offering me 20 more, Shaykh, you know, come on, you know, you go, you know, you could get 20 more, can't you? You're a Shaykh anyway, yeah? People were will borrow you money. You have no problems, you know. The 20,000 pounds extra. He says, one of your people offered me, but you know what, Rafiq? I made a promise to you, subhanAllah, right? He goes, Rafiq, I made a promise. And I made a promise that I'm going to sell you the property. The day you say no to me, I'll put you on the market. Then I don't want to know who buys the property. Until you want to buy the property, I'm not going to give it to anybody else. And because I thought maybe, look at, usko bhi shaitan aur nafs ka kuch ehsaas hoga. Usko bhi shaitan aur nafs ka kuch ehsaas hoga. He might have had something in his heart that maybe the shaitan and nafs will pray. He goes, maybe I might change my mind. And just in case I changed my mind, I went to the solicitor and I signed a contract to say, I'm going to give it to Mr. Patel, who lives next door to me, for 55,000 pounds. SubhanAllah. Eh? This is the beauty of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, I'm not sharing this story to do, I'm just saying that the beauty of Islam, this incident happened with me personally. And I saw the beauty of Islam. Because we never at any time thought that we're ever going to buy that property. But still, alhamdulillah, Allah created means that we got that property and alhamdulillah, it became ours. What I'm trying to say, Rasulullah said the third advice he gave, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا, that be, do ihsan to your neighbor, you will be a true believer. I will just finish it, wrap it up. The fourth one, what was the first one again? اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ, save yourself from haram. Number two was? What was number two? Can you remember? Let's refresh ourselves. وَرْضَ بِمَا قَصَمَ اللَّهُ, be pleased with the faith from Allah. Be pleased with what Allah Ta'ala has written for me and you as our faith. Number three is that we should be courteous towards our neighbors. Number four, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ, like for the people what you like for yourself. What you like for yourself, you should like for the people. This in itself is an issue we could talk on for an hour. Like for the people what you like for yourself. Simple terms, I'd like to say, we have clothing banks. Do we have a clothing bank in the courtyard here, mashallah? Alhamdulillah, maybe Islamic League for Ummah Welfare Trust or some Muslim organizations, clothing bank. But what kind of clothes do you put in there? We put the clothes that are tatty. We put the clothes that we don't want. Yeah? So it's all clothing bank. So we put the clothes there because we've got our wardrobes full up. We want to empty them out and put new clothes in. When did we ever think that tomorrow is Eid or tomorrow is a good day? I'm going to buy this clothing tomorrow for me because it's Eid. And the same clothing I'm going to buy for the poor man on the street. SubhanAllah. When did you ever think of that? وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ, the same pair of shoes. You're going to put it into the clothing bag and you think you're doing ihsan? You think you're doing ihsan on the poor people? That you're putting the shoes which you've worn and they become tatty, and the clothes that you've worn and if they become old now and you want to buy new clothes, you think you're doing ihsan? Do shukr that Allah's given you tawfiq to put into the bag there. Do shukr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's given you the tawfiq to put into the clothing bag. Otherwise they would be resting there in your home doing nothing. Just yesterday, I think, I was listening to the radio and they were talking about, what do we call those, counterfeit clothes? When they, you know, when they get them, when they make the names and they counterfeit them, yeah? And they say, for example, Adidas, it's not real Adidas, but it's a counterfeit, yeah? And I was listening to the radio and there's some kind of a charity, I think Green or something, I don't know, just mentioned some name. And I said, this charity actually said this way because of the cutbacks and everything of the situation. They said, what we've done this year is the clothing that was counterfeited. What can the government do? What can the police? They don't do. They can't sell that anymore. So what they did is they took those clothing, they changed the whole label. And they gave it the label of their company and then they gave it to the poor people. SubhanAllah. Yeah? Now this is what it is. That when are we ever going to give something that we love to somebody that is in need? This is something that we need to do. وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا, then you will become a true Muslim. Then you will become a true Muslim. And last but not least, وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضِّحْكَ, do not laugh with abundance. Today every majlis, ha ha ha, he he he, every second a joke. SubhanAllah. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Nowadays, today I was looking on my emails and I got an email. A majlis of, I don't know, some kind of peace and laughter. They're going to call a woman to do laughter.
وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ لَمْ يُطِيق. رسول اللہ says woe and halakat is for those people who are basically creating this kind of an atmosphere where they are cracking jokes. Not cracking jokes so that you become closer to Allah, but cracking jokes so that they go far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laughter, to create these kind of what they call stage comedians. Yeah? And doing it for what? Not for that they come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that they come. The Surah Al-Fatihah also cracked a joke. He also cracked a joke, but it was based on reality. Based on those jokes that are based on reality is no problem. As long as the parda is not compromised. Because today you got comedians who are women as well. You got stage comedians who are women. And if they're in the stage or in the audience, men and women are together, again there's an issue. So as long as, because you do get some comedians who are they word things according to what's based on reality. So their main maqsad is to try and give hit messages which is based on reality. Maybe that could be a room for discussion. But generally jokes in here England, Tom, what do they say? Englishman, Irishman, Scottishman. Yeah? And maybe back home they say India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, yeah? And who is the victim all the time? In UK, he's always the Irishman. Always they will belittle and degrade the Irishman. They say, oh, yeah, this guy, Irishman. Yeah? So they will belittle. Where you are belittling somebody, you are degrading somebody, that is against Islam. That is against Islam. So, wala tuftir al-dihk. Abundance of laughter kills the heart. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. To laugh with abundance, and sometimes you will realize when you're sitting and when you laugh, you will have a feeling in your heart. Your heart will go hot. And that is what is called when the nur of iman is going out. When the nur of iman is going out, you will feel it. Alhamdulillah, when we have nourished ourselves with the nourishment of iman, with the nourishment of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we sit and we laugh. Laughed, like I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also laughed, mazah. He said once, you won't go to Jannah, to an old woman. No, you won't go to Jannah. She started crying. You're not going to go to Jannah. Oh, says, I've done so much, I don't want to go to Jannah. And then in the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you won't go to Jannah in this state, you'll become a young woman and then go to Jannah, subhanAllah. So he basically did crack a joke now and then, but it was based on reality. But this kind of laughter doesn't help at all. كَثْرَةُ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رواه الترمذي. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says abundance of laughter kills the heart. Imam Tirmizi has mentioned this hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and you the understanding of what has been said and heard. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us all under the flag of Islam, under the flag of Iman, and make us realize these important lessons which Rasulullah gave to me and you. So the five lessons, sabak, which were given today, we need to understand and always repeat it. I have to make sure, number one, and remember, number one, we have to stay away from haram. Number two, we have to be pleased with the destiny of Allah. Number three, we have to make sure that we are courteous towards our neighbors. Number four, we have to make sure that we like for others what we like for ourselves. And we shouldn't be selfish. And number five, we should not laugh with abundance, for laughter of abundance will kill the heart. Allah says in the Quran, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. They should cry more and laugh less. This is the conclusion of the talk today. We hope inshallah Allah gives us the tawfiq, the guidance, inclination to act upon what has been said and heard. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. If I've said anything which has hurt anybody, I ask for your forgiveness. If I've said anything which has been offensive to anybody, I seek for your forgiveness. Whatever was said was haq, was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anything was said which was batil, that was from shaitan and nafs. May Allah ta'ala forgive me for that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all the best reward for bearing with me, subhanAllah. Yeah? Yeah? You sat here for nearly 2 hours now, bearing my presence here and listening to my
feeble talk here. Alhamdulillah, you have great luminary scholars amongst yourself, mashallah, who are doing fantastic work. Allah accept their efforts, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us mustaqim ala deen. Yeah. May He make us steadfast on deen. And may He make us support each other in the works of deen. Whatever activity is taking place in the masjid, may He make us support that, inshallah. Whatever work of deen is taking place, may He make us support that, inshallah. May He make us unite as the united, and may He save us from ikhtilaf, from disunity. May He save us from despair, and may He save us from losing hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-bala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem. Fajazakumullahu khayran. أحسن الجزاء في الدارين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.